Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Father, as we look into your word, that you open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, Father, and give us light. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your grace upon the word of God today, Lord. Your wisdom, your understanding, to bring it forth any way you so desire. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. I want to start there today. Verse number 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and that character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. How many are glad that we have hope with God? Amen. We have peace with our Father. And Jesus, we know we're talking about here. You know, at Christmas time, he is what? The Prince of Peace, isn't he? He's the one that gave us that access to the Father through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him. That's the first thing he says. We've been justified by faith. Now, if we're made right or justified, that just means just as if one person said, just as if we've never sinned, or we're made righteous, in other words, before the Father, we have a right standing with him. The price, in other words, as we've talked about here recently, was paid. The death penalty that sin had for us was paid and brought the very justified or righteous condition that we have before our Father, which brought us peace with God, because we were what? At enmity against God. Why? Because of sin, because of the penalty of death, because the enemy could not stop him, though. The enemy wanted to stop us. The enemy of our soul and of our life was spiritual death. But through Jesus, we now have that hope, the hope of the glory of God, which now indwells us. And not that only, but this glory which is in us, we glory also, it says, in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces something within us, and that's perseverance. When we face trial of any kind, we know that God is for us, and he has already given us the victory, because we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace that passes understanding begins to what? Mount guard over our heart and mind through Christ Jesus, but it is through one thing, and that's faith in what he already produced. Amen. Without faith, Hebrews 11, it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6, to please God. It is our faith that pleases him. And with faith, or by faith, we then begin to acknowledge everything that we have in Christ Jesus. We realize our righteousness. We realize his price that he paid. And we recognize that it is faith in the finished work of Christ that we must live and operate by. Now, we've talked about faith here many times, several times in our church, and we've discussed faith. But let's go over there and look at that verse again there in Hebrews. Hallelujah. Chapter 11. And verse number 6. I just want to read it because I think it's important sometimes when we think about it. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about faith and how it works and how it operates. Now, we've talked here how that it's not really as mysterious as we want to make it think that it is. You know, yes, faith, but it's faith in what Jesus had accomplished. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, a lot of times, the problem that we have is not that we don't believe. Many people believe. Believe and faith is the same thing. Sometimes people try to say, well, I have belief. No, no, faith and belief is one and the same. That is the same thing. If you believe, yes, you're operating in faith because we're putting, but faith is something, it is our firm, what we're firmly persuaded about. That's really what faith is. It is what? Our persuasion, what we believe, what we live by, who we really are, and what our faith is placed in, which is what? The finished work of Christ. Therefore, we know that the love of God, which we've been talking about, is shed abroad in our heart, what? By the Holy Spirit, because faith cometh by one way and not two ways. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, it can come quickly and it can come easily. But how many know that we have learned that faith also has to continually be fed? We can't just hear something one time and say, hey, when we hear it, yes, it becomes real and alive to us. But how many of you know we are human? How many has ever learned something, but yet we did not continue to feed on it, and it has waned in your life? How many know a lot of times when we get into the Word of God, faith begins to come and we're strong, but if we don't continue to what? Feed that faith. Continue to feed in the area of Jesus is my peace. He's what? The Prince of Peace. Why? Because he paid the price at the cross. Because he gave me what? Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have what now? Peace. That Jesus is my Prince of Peace. See, that is one area that we exercise faith in. Now, there are many areas to exercise our faith in, aren't there? There are many subjects, many different things. But how many know that if we don't continually feed ourselves with the Word of God, then faith can begin to wane. It can begin to die down. Such as the area, anybody ever been strong? You said, well, I stand strong in healing. But I hadn't really continued to feed myself in that area of my life. And if we don't feed ourselves in these different areas of our life, then we begin to what? It can begin to wane, and we draw back. The Bible says faith are not of those that draw back, we continue. It's not that we don't believe at all. But how many know faith can grow weak if we don't keep it strong? We must continually feed faith with the Word of God. Because when we come to him here in Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that he is. And I think most people believe God is. But where we tend to fail to recognize that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And do we really believe that God is a rewarder? Amen. He is a giver. He is not a withholder. No good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly. He will withhold nothing from you. He is a giver. He gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's go here also. We see, let's go to James chapter 1. I'm talking a little bit this morning about faith, that we've been, yes, justified by faith, and that justification has given us what? That righteousness gave us peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. But it is faith in what he has done that really causes that to be a reality in our heart and in our life. We have to hold fast to what he has said to us and he has given us, that he is a rewarder. He is a giver. He is not a withholder. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. That's where we're going. Sorry about that. I didn't turn there. So, James chapter 1 verse 5. He says this. Hallelujah. Relax, Pastor Doug. Here we go. James 1, 5. Says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach or withholding of any kind, and it will be given to him. Now here I want us to see, he said, if we ask wisdom and ask of God, he will give what? Liberally. Our Father is a liberal giver. He is not a withholder. And sometimes I think when we approach him, anybody ever approach God? You're talking to him. You say, yeah, I see that for someone else, but will he, you know, in our mind, we have that tendency. How many ever had the enemy bring that thought to you? Yeah, he'll do it for them, but will he do it for me? Amen. But he is a giver, he that comes to God. We must believe that he is and that he will reward us as we diligently seek him or seek him out. We seek God out. We see what he has said. We see what he has promised. Now, you know, we have the subject, different subjects in our life. And I know a lot of times we talk about faith and having faith to receive from God is easily obtainable when we take him at his word and we accept what he has said is true. See, a lot of times we're waiting to say, well, am I really in faith? Do I have faith? Well, have you believed what God said? And have you accepted what he said for whatever it is you're asking for, be it healing, prosperity, whatever? Have you accepted it as truth in your life? If you have accepted it as truth and say the word of God is true, God cannot lie, therefore I know this has to be true, then faith has already begun to come. Amen. Faith comes. Because Romans 10, 17, faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And because faith can come, it can come simply. It can come easily. It can come quickly. When we take God's word and we're saying, hey, this is the word of God, I do believe. But how many know our belief has to have some other things with it? We must believe that God is, number one, and that he will be a giver to what? To me. I must realize he is a liberal giver. I must realize that God gave his only Son for what? For me, for the world. He's willing to give to you and I. He's willing to supply my need. He is willing to heal my brokenheartedness. He's willing to set me free because of the price that He paid at Calvary. It was enough. He did so much for us, didn't He? He became poor for us. He became sick for us. He became sin for us that we might be free. The Bible says, the anguish of man, right? What did He have on His head? That crown of thorns, didn't He? He bore the mental pain of man. He says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. What is that? That is the destruction that the enemy has tried to come to stop you from receiving all that God has for you. That is mental. Sometimes it's mental anguish. It's mental pain. It's emotional pain that may have been inflicted upon you by another that the enemy used. Satan is really the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, isn't it? Sometimes he uses people, doesn't he? Sometimes he brings pain. Sometimes there is death in this world, and we have to face our tribulation or our trial, as we read about it first. Sometimes tribulation in life comes. And if it hasn't come to you yet, just hang around a while, because we live in a fallen world and there are things that are going to happen, and we're going to need to hold fast to the faith that God has given you and I in the finished work of Jesus. Amen. That's what He said in Hebrews. Let's see, we went to one. Let's look at that Hebrews chapter 10. Right before James, is Hebrews, a few pages back. And verse 23, now I'm reading on the King James, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Or in the New King James, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, which was set before us, or the faith that God has placed within us. And we read over there in Romans 5 that hope, what, does not disappoint. Why? Because we have godly hope. And godly hope is the vision on the inside of us that the Word of God has produced. It is what we see, the final result that we're believing for. You see, when we come to God and we receive the Word of God is to give us that hope, that vision on the inside, that image of who He really created you and I to be. He created us to be sons of the living God. He said, what, I came that you might have life. Now, Satan came, what, to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus says, I came, John 10:10. I came that you might have what? Life, and life more abundantly. Oh, you say, well, I thought, you know, you're talking about the Prince of Peace. I am. But He's the one that came. And in the finished work of Jesus, we did receive those things. But how many know? We've got to see it on the inside of us. We've got to see who we are. And the Word of God begins to create that picture. It creates an expectancy on the inside of us. And we begin to say, yes, I see what He has said, that I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been chosen by Him. It was His good pleasure that He might call me unto Himself. It is God who has said to me, I receive you now as a son, as an heir and a joint heir with me, to make you one with Jesus Himself. Jesus said, pray. Remember, we talked about that as well, that Jesus prayed that we be what? One, even as He and the Father are one, and that He loves us as He loved Jesus. Hallelujah. And if He, but here it says, let us hold fast the confession, our saying, or saying the same thing of what God has said about you or about your situation. You know, anybody ever had the devil come say, Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Amen. We need to say, I didn't really think who I am. I know who I am. I'm a son or a daughter of the living God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joiner with Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror, and He causes me to always triumph because I am in Christ Jesus. I am in Him. I am in the finished work that He made. As He is, so am I in this world. The same Jesus that died on that cross, I died with Him under the penalty of sin and the effects thereof. I died under the penalty of poverty. I died under the penalty of sickness and disease. I died under the penalty of death. And I died with Him that I might live with Him. Amen? I suffered with Him. He went to hell in my place. He suffered under the penalty of it. And because of what He did, I identify with His substitutionary work. And I am one with Him. I am in union with Jesus in every single way. Because He came to take my place and your place so that we can be lifted to the place of Son of the Living God. Child of God. Now, we don't become deity. That's absolutely certain. And that is for sure. We'll never be deity. Because that is a place that God Himself and Jesus holds. But we are like Him in the sense that we are alive to Him. And that we are born from death to life. And that we receive everything that He provided for us. And He says, hey, I want you to have these truths. I want you to have that righteousness that comes. I want you to have that peace with God. And I want you to have everything that He provided for you. Which is what? Joy. Unspeakable love. What's in your spirit? Galatians chapter 5, right? What's in you? We said earlier, the kingdom of God is in you. What is that? What is the kingdom of God? What part of your spirit? What is in that spiritual man that's on the inside of you? Some people have said, well, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Yes, the Spirit of Christ, the same kind of spirit that Jesus had, does live on the inside of you. Galatians chapter 5. Now, what's he talking about here is not the whole gifts. You know, these are not fruits necessarily. These are not just, it says, but if the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know a lot of times they say, hey, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but really it's the fruit of our reborn human spirit. That's what he's talking about here. Because he's talking about the difference, if you'll notice, of the flesh man. Now, if we're flesh, we know we are the flesh, right? Then we also, our spirit, our spiritual man, the spirit of man in us was changed from darkness to light. We became new. We didn't stay the same. We were changed. And I hope we're making this clear this morning. I want us to see some things here that our faith affects us. When we can believe who we really are, we can believe what Jesus has done. It makes a difference. Here we see here, but this is the fruit, verse 22, of the spirit of man. Is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no what? Law. Remember what he said in Romans chapter 8, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was the law that we were facing because we had sinned, because sin was in the world. We had a nature of sin. But because the law of the Spirit of life, which came to us through Christ Jesus, that law, the same Spirit, in other words, that was in Jesus Christ, that was alive to God, is now alive on the inside of you. You have a spirit. It's not Jesus' spirit living in you. It's your spirit. How many know you are a spirit? You have a mind, will, emotions, intellect, a soul, right? And you live in a physical body. We have three parts to our being. And we do look at them. We can look at them by definition, but how many know they flow together because we are one being? You see, sometimes people say, well, whatever happens in my body, that doesn't affect me in other areas of my life. But how many know that it does affect you? You know, Jesus said one of the greatest sins that we have against our own body. If you, you know, go out and have sex with another person that's not your husband or wife, it is sin, not just against you, against your body, and it's going to affect your mind and your soul. And how many know? Many people don't do that, but they'll look at something on the internet that's not godly, amen? Isn't that right, man? Sometimes we're tempted, aren't we, in our mind? And how many of you know it affects your mind and it also affects your heart? Because why? The Bible says if we don't have confidence before God, then it affects our faith. Because our confidence wanes because of what? Sin and unrighteousness and the things that entered in. And the thoughts of our mind begin to change. You see, we think little things don't matter, but the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Oh, Lord, help us. He is that, and we are those branches. But here he's saying, these are the fruit that are on the inside of you, inside of our spirit. And we've been looking much at the fruit of love, but there's also many other fruits on the inside of you that grow and are produced and affect us in a positive way. When what? When we yield to the Spirit that is on the inside of us, we have those things growing. Hallelujah. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the kindness, goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. And those who are in, who are Christ, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become what? Conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So here he's not really talking about walking necessarily. Yes, we walk after and with the Holy Spirit, but it is our human spirit that has been made new. And when we walk after the desires of our inward man, the real you that's on the inside has been changed. The real you, which was made righteous by faith that we mentioned in Romans chapter 5. The real you that gave you peace with God, that passes what? Even the understanding of our own mind. There is a place with God where that love was poured forth, that love nature that's in you. And you walk according to that. How? By listening and yielding to the inward man and denying that outward fleshly man that says, hey, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You listen to that voice, that still small voice on the inside of you, your conscience, which is now alive unto God and can now be trusted because you've been what? Born again. You've been changed. For the image on the inside of you is no longer the same. You're no longer a dirty old worm. You're not just a forgiven sinner, but you are a saved, changed saint. And you received a nature that belongs unto God, a nature that is like God, a spirit man on the inside, which was washed of the old sin nature. It was torn out of you and placed in its place. Was that Spirit of God, the life of God, was put on the inside of your human spirit, which was death, but now became alive. And just like Adam had lost his glory with God, you have gained that glory on the inside. So if we peeled back all of your flesh and all we saw was your spirit, you would be shining with the glory of God from the inside. Now see, now the battle is letting that spirit, that part of us, to grow up, to be trained, to let the fruits that we're talking about here to continue to manifest, to continue to grow. And how does that grow? By faith in who God said you are. A son. An understanding that we are sons of the living God. That we're free from the law of the spirit of death. That no longer rules. We don't have to be ruled any longer by sin. The consciousness of sin was destroyed. It wasn't just covered like it was under the Old Testament, where yes, they had a nature, but it was a deaf nature. And God was ruling with them primarily, what? From the outside in. We see many things manifest and things come upon them, but how many know? Mostly they saw stuff outwardly, didn't they? They had to see with their eye. Hallelujah. And, you know, they would see things take place. They saw the pillar, didn't they, under the old covenant. They saw the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and they had to follow some of these things. But how many know on the inside of you is a pillar? It's your spirit. It is the life of God that moved on the inside of you. The Spirit of God lives in you as well. Amen. Your nature is not what it was. We also have the fire of God. We're filled with that Holy Spirit. And with what fire? We have some things on the inside of us if we'll look to the kingdom of God, which is what? Within us. Amen. And we don't have to fear because we know it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and to walk in that kingdom. And that's really what Jesus was talking about. I'm talking about what he has given to us. A peace that passes, that brings us what? To a place of righteousness with God. A place where God's anger is no longer against man because of sin. Sin was destroyed in the nature of sin. And then the life of God, which moved on the inside of us by what? Faith. By our firm persuasion in what we have seen and what his word has said about you and I. And when we hold fast to the word of God and we feed upon the truths of the word of God, then our faith continues to rise. It continues to stand strong because he is a liberal giver. He is the God who is. We believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. In other words, he pays us big. We have benefits in his kingdom. Amen. How many know what he said in Psalm 103? Forget not what? All his benefits. He forgives all of our iniquity. He heals all of our diseases. He crowns us with life, right? He destroys. Let's look at it. Psalm 103. I'm going to read that. It's better to read it. I'm not remembering it perfectly. I'm sorry for that, but I wasn't quoting it. I was getting there, but Psalm 103. Psalm 103 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." Oh, hallelujah. Now see, he's here. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Why? He's coming. Jesus is that. We know that Moses knew God's ways. He walked with him closely, didn't he? The children of Israel saw his acts, but you and I walk with God. How many know we have a better covenant, a better promise, even than they had under the old covenant, where yes, they were God's people, they were chosen of him, and he walked with them externally. Primarily, he was in that temple. They had to go to the temple. They had to go to the prophet to hear from God. They had to go to different places. And yes, God would come upon people for a certain amount of time, but he never indwelled them. He did not live on the inside of them. But you and I have God in us, the hope of glory, the hope of the resurrection, life eternal. Hallelujah. We pass from death unto life. Therefore, what? We love the brother. Hallelujah. We've been talking about that love that moved on the inside of us. We've been talking about the peace here this morning that came. This is the health of God moved in. He crowned us with loving kindness, with tender mercies. He satisfies us with good things, and our youth is renewed like the eagles. He doesn't satisfy us with bad things. That's the enemy's job. We've got enough of those laying around, amen, in this world. How many know the world's not yet been redeemed? It's still under what? The curse. Nevertheless, God has caused us to overcome. Be of good cheer, because why? I have overcome the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of you, you see. It's your own spirit that's been made new, been created like unto God. And our faith gives us access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in his finished work. His faith that he said on the cross, what? It is finished, didn't he? He said, it is finished. What is finished? The sin debt was paid. The wages of sin was death, or eternal separation from God. The debt for sin and all of its friends was paid. Its friends of sickness, its friends of poverty, its friend of spiritual death, its friend of lack of peace. See, that's the friends of death. But we're now of life, where we have, what? Peace with God. The peace that passes understanding is now on the inside of us. What came in? Love, joy, peace, that patience, that kindness, that faithfulness, that gentleness. Now we've been changed. We've been made new. And we'll partake of all that God has done for me and you. We begin to stand in a place that's as a son and an heir and a joint heir with him, when we are more than conquerors because he lives within. And when we begin to call upon his name and allow his word to paint the picture of who we are on the inside, we begin to see ourselves as he sees us. And we begin to grow and mature from the inside out. Why? Because his life already lives in there. Yeah, we were born again. Now, we weren't born. Like I said, we're not necessarily born again full grown. We still have growing to do. But it is our spirit that begins to mature and grow as we feed it, what? Upon the Word of God. And as we feast upon him in these different areas, and the faith of God begins to rise, we begin to see victory. Amen? How many know that you don't have to stay in a lack of peace? If you've got torment in your mind, it can change. Amen? Because he is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that came. He's the one. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2 for a minute. I hope we're making sense this morning. I know I'm kind of all over in these verses, but this is the Word of God. These are the truths that he has given to us. Amen. That we were, yes, we didn't have peace with God, but we now have something with Him. We have a place with Him. We have a peace with God. It comes and it gives us access to all that He is. Amen. Ephesians 2, let's look at 13. Begin at 13. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in His flesh the enmity that is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Hallelujah. He put to death the enmity that was against God, the sin nature that was against God, and He has made one new man, and you and I have become that new man in Jesus Christ. We were changed. Hallelujah. Because He goes on, He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, are able now to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the depth and height, and you know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's good news in Him. That yes, there was a loss. Yes, we were bound by sin. Yes, sin was the problem. The nature of sin. The act of Adam and Eve which brought death to man. But now there is life in Christ Jesus. And a consciousness of life begins to come. We lose that sin consciousness, and we come into a place where we are now what? Right with God. We have that access to the Father and all that He has provided, and it comes by faith through Him and the finished work that He gave at the cross of Calvary, and we continue, and we can move in Him, and we realize that Jesus brought that peace, and the peace that passes understanding. There's peace now that can come to us also as we seek Him in our circumstance. Amen. How many know sometimes we have circumstance that come to try to steal that peace that we have with Him? How many has ever had that happen to you? Amen. How many know you're going to hit the circumstance of life? Sometimes they're not all fun. And it's not always easy, but we are what? Soldiers of the King as well. We endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus. And we continue to hold fast to what He has promised. John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. Why? I have overcome the world. So therefore, in Christ, you have overcome the world. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes what all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So how many see, you know, Jesus warned us that we would face tribulation. But as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we no longer belong to the world. We're simply passing through the world on our way to our eternal home. Amen. How many are glad that we're just passing through? We're not staying here forever. We're not going to be we're going to face some things in this world, but we have victory while we're here, and we're going into eternal victory. Amen. Because he is our eternal peace. Glory to God. We have peace with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have peace here with our brothers and sisters, can't we? Amen. He said, if we have passed from death, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14, right? We know we pass from death unto this life. Where? Inside. Amen. As we yield to that life that's in there, we're yielding to his perfect purpose and will for our life because we're doing it according to what he has said. Our faith is in his finished work. Our faith is in what God has said. Our faith is knowing that he's a giver. Our faith is knowing that he will give liberally. Our faith is knowing that God has given me peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in what he has done. Hallelujah. And I know those are simple, but I think we need to remember and we need to realize sometimes even in this time of year, even as we've mentioned, it's not always easy for people. Everybody around us, we've all faced something. I know that as I continue to move forward in the Lord and you lose family members and things happen in life, you know, there are times we miss them. We remember things, amen? And we have to remember the number one thing, and that's what Jesus gave us, amen? That he is the one that causes us to overcome, and we can allow that peace to rule our hearts. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." The word rule in Colossians 3:15 helps us understand how we can walk in peace with God and with others. It means to act as umpire, and that's what the Amplified says. Let the peace of God act as umpire in our heart to arbitrate to us, to decide. Amen. How many know the peace of God is in there? And we can sense what is right, what is wrong. We have a conscience that's alive unto God. And many times I know that all of us have one time or another, I don't know about you, but I have made a decision or two, and I felt the conviction of God's Spirit and that it wasn't just right. And there's conviction in our heart and uneasiness or the lack of peace. Anybody ever sense that in you? Oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know. Or maybe you sensed it just before and you did do the right thing. Anybody ever done that? I've done that too. Amen. But he'll bring into remembrance. See, it is God's, you know, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, primarily through the Word of God when we are reminded of something. Amen. How many have ever done the right thing and then you read it in the Bible? Oh, I knew I did the right thing. You didn't know that scripture before, but you did that anyway. Why? Because you followed your heart. You followed the Spirit of God in you. So God provides, Jesus provides that peace to rule in our hearts. And of course, as we said, there is eternal peace. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And so Isaiah is prophesying, naming Messiah our Prince of Peace. And so it is through faith in God that we have experienced that peace, as we saw there in Romans chapter 5, and given us the access to all that God is, amen, to all that he provided. And our faith is in what he did, what Jesus accomplished, the peace that he purchased on the cross, the deliverance that he made, the freedom that he gave from the law of sin and death. and gave us what? That law of the Spirit of life that moved to the inside of us, where there is now what? The love, the joy, the peace, that patience, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, that gentleness, that if we'll yield unto that, there is no law against us. There is no law that can condemn us. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ made us free from that law of sin and death. And when we yield unto our spiritual man, which is alive to God, we're going to be walking according to God's purpose, according to His will, according to His plan, according to His nature that lives on the inside of us. Amen. Our nature is now to do those things, isn't it? Our real nature. Now we have that, you know, we have the battle. The battle is against what? That fleshliness that is within our bodily members, within our body. It wars against our spirit. Our flesh wars against the spirit. How many know sometimes your flesh doesn't want to get up and come to church? Amen. I don't mind sleeping in some Sundays, you know, but I got to get up early. Why? I have a job. I have a duty. I have a responsibility. I have a need. I have a desire. On the inside, the real me desires to worship Him. The real me desires to come and learn of Him. The real me has to come to church and hear from Him. The real me has come to love on my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Amen. So when we use our faith, we place it in that finished work of Christ. We continue to feed it with the what? The Word of God, the truths that He has given us, the promises that He has promised us, which build that faith and continue to strengthen us that we stand firm in all that He has given us, that we may walk in pure righteousness and holiness before Him all the days of our life. And we will see that life, what? The life that He has given. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the abundant life. Walking with Him and knowing Him and allowing the spirit of man that was made new on the inside of you and I to govern our life. Amen. All right. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we've taken a few things, and I know I was in several different scriptures today, but we want us to see who we really are, Father, and the things that you have purchased for us, that you are our Prince of Peace, Lord, that you come and you've given us access to the Father, that you have given us access to all that you are, that it is by faith, by the things that we believe and that you have provided at the cross alone, Father, that we have health, that we have strength, that we have peace of mind, Lord, that we need not despair of what's in this world, but you have overcome the world, and therefore we shall overcome, because greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that we are new in you and that you have redeemed us and set us free. Lord, we thank you for grace to continue to walk in that victory, Father, to continue to yield unto our new nature, Father, to yield to the life that you place within us, and not to look at all the circumstance around us, but to look to you and to keep our mind on you and to allow you to keep us in perfect peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.